This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الرسول يا رب إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين وكفى بربك هاديا ونصيرا وقال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة كذلك لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا الذين يحشرون على وجوههم إلى جهنم أولئك شر مكانا وأضل سبيلا ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلنا معه أخاه هارون وزيرا فقلنا اذهبا إلى القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا فدمرناهم تدميرا وقوم نوح لما كذبوا الرسل أغرقناهم وجعلناهم للناس آية وأعتدنا للظالمين عذابا أليما وعادا وثمود وأصحاب الرس وقرونا بين ذلك كثيرا وكلا ضربنا له الأمثال وكلا تبرنا تتبيرا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We commence as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of us, my brothers and sisters. May Allah bless humanity at large. May He guide us to goodness, and may He make us from those who are protected from evil. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, a beautiful evening, mashallah. As you know, this will be the last session here for the month of Ramadan. We will not be having sessions. And therefore, it is only apt and accurate that we speak about this beautiful month of Ramadan. It is a month where we all know we need to fast. But is that what it is all about? Is that what it is all about? The answer is no. There is much more to it than that. And inshallah, this evening we will go through some of the very important lessons and pointers that we may inshallah derive maximum benefit from this beautiful month of Ramadan. Bearing in mind that on the globe as we speak right now, there are so many people who are homeless, there are so many people who are going through so many different types of problems, it is our duty to bear them in mind, to pray for them inshallah, to reach out to them at least through our prayers. A few days ago I actually said this and someone told me, you can't do anything to help people that are homeless through prayers. What's a prayer going to do? And I thought to myself, subhanallah, do not underestimate your maker. Do not underestimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever for a moment think that it's not enough just to pray. If that's what you can do, that's what you should be doing. That's the minimum. Nobody can say they cannot do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that feeling within our hearts for humanity at large, so that we can be an asset not only to our own families and societies or countries, but inshallah the globe at large. So brothers and sisters, mashallah, a powerful month, the most powerful month of the Islamic year, the month of Ramadan. In it, forgiveness is on sale. Like I've said in the previous weeks, I said it a few days ago in the masjid as well, forgiveness is on sale, meaning Allah is dishing it out and giving it for next to nothing. And why I word it this way is our minds are very, very commercialized today. If I were to tell you the vehicle you really wanted all your life is at 1/10 of the price right now, my Corolla would be sold. Believe me, we'd purchase it. Why? Because 1/10 of the price, that is a bargain. The same would apply to everything else and anything else, including, guess what? The data bundles that you buy from Econet. If I were to tell you that these are now $1 for 2 gig, I think we'd all spend all night recharging our phones. Look at all the smiles on the faces. Allahu Akbar. We know what we're speaking about. It's very expensive. So if something was on sale and you desperately wanted it, you would make sure you had it. This is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, at loss is a person who witnesses the month of Ramadan, which means they've been allowed by Allah to see such a blessed month. They come out of it without forgiveness. How? You went to the area where there's forgiveness and you've come back without anything. You know, I once went to Egypt a long, long time ago. And when I came back, a friend of mine told me, did you bring the water of the Nile? And I said, no, I didn't. Then they told me, well, that means you didn't go to Egypt. And I was laughing and I thought, they expected me to take a bottle, go to the Nile and fill it up. Well, it was just a saying. You went all the way there and you brought back nothing. No, you went right to the place. Imagine a person goes for Hajj. And they go right there and they do everything but Hajj. We enter the month of forgiveness. We do everything but achieve forgiveness. What a waste. And this is why, let's mold ourselves from now. How? Soften your hearts. You have hatred in it, fight it, take it out. Hatred comes at a price. The other day I heard a little clip, a beautiful clip that someone sent me on WhatsApp. And the sheikh who was speaking, he said, a grudge is like a poison that you drink and wait for the next man to die. Did you hear that? A grudge is like a poison that you drink, expecting the next person to die. That means holding that grudge has greater damage on you than anyone else. It might be your right. They may have wronged you. They may have this. It is cheaper for you to release it than to hold it. Believe me. And this is blanket. Because what will happen? If you hold something, your health goes. You vent on the wrong people. Your marriage might go. Your relation with your children might go. So many other things you have paid. Why? You could not release one thing that someone did. And it was oppression, yes. But if it was releasable, release it. Take it out. Throw it out. Welcome to the month of Ramadan. There you are. You are welcoming the month. If you have not cleansed your heart, you haven't sat with yourself and been hard on yourself, so hard as to search into your own self regarding your qualities. How do I get along with my family or this person or that person? What hatred do I have? Let me take it out, fight myself to remove it so that I can sleep light and I can welcome the month of Ramadan. If you're not prepared to make that effort, you will not achieve the spirituality from the month of Ramadan. This is something important. Yes, if someone has usurped your right, they owe you the money or they owe you X amount and so on. Yes, by all means, you may want to hold that as in you owe me. But let it not go beyond that to say, I hate and I this and I can't stand. No, it's just an amount of cash. Stop it at that. Perhaps Allah's holding that for you in a way that there is barakah surrounding everything else you do, blessings. And yet Allah's holding that for you. Perhaps if you were to get that back, maybe the other blessings are gone. It could happen. It could be the case. But man sometimes is so spiritually weak that they don't even think that there is an option or there is a possibility or probability of that. Sometimes when you are being oppressed, the angels are praying for you and you have arrived at a new spiritual level. And sometimes because of that oppression, if you oppress as a result, everything comes crashing. So for as long as you were oppressed, you were blessed. The minute you started oppressing, all the blessings gone. And sometimes the minute that problem is resolved, Allah's going to test you with another problem. We know. We've heard the verses of the Quran. We know Allah has placed us on this globe to test us. The tests will continue one after the other. You pass one test, don't think you're now going to sit back. No more tests. You get a bigger test. I'd rather a test that is manageable than a test that I don't even know. And I'm sure everyone would agree with that. I'd rather go through a test that I can manage. I can cope. I know. Alhamdulillah, look, I've been wronged. I've been this. I've been that. But mashallah, I'm coping. I've released the hatred from my heart. I'm now leading a very happy life. Alhamdulillah, as best as I can. I try, you know, to take things closer and so on. But I'm leading a happy life. My health has improved because my tension, my stress, my whatever other medical illness comes with it is all not there. Why? Because alhamdulillah, it's manageable. Thank Allah. Because sometimes if He takes that away, He might test you with something a little bit bigger. Then who knows how you will cope. May Allah protect us. This is why we say, welcome the month of Ramadan with open arms. The first thing that happens when you open your arms, your heart should be releasing anything negative. All the dirt needs to go out. So the jealousy, the envy, the hatred, it must come out. Also the love of materialism. You know, when it gets beyond a certain point, then we lose focus. We all become our own people. I am leading a life. I'm focused and dedicated until I can buy my S5. Believe me, I'm so focused. I'm earning, I'm saving. Everything rotates around my new phone, my laptop, my this, my accessories, the latest nail polish, whatever it is. If my life is rotating around that, I have to improve spiritually. These things are supposed to be by the way things. By the way things meaning, alhamdulillah, you make use of it and you carry on. That's not what your life should be aimed on or focused upon. No. We focus upon pleasing the Maker. And do you know what? Amazingly, pleasing the Maker is closely connected to being kind and good to fellow human beings. Very closely linked. And this is why when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about the people of paradise, what are the qualities that will lead the people of paradise into paradise? He said two things. Taqwallahi wa husnul khuluqi. The consciousness of Allah and good character and conduct. These are the two things that will take you to paradise. They will drive you to paradise. Because to have good character and conduct, believe me, requires a great effort. A great effort. Rise above. That's how you prepare for Ramadan. Ramadan is a month of cleansing of the heart. It is only if you have made an effort to scrub it with the correct detergent that you will be able to achieve what you are meant to be achieving from that month. Ramadan is a month of forgiveness. If you are not prepared to forgive others, don't expect the Almighty to forgive you. Still, through His mercy, He might. But don't expect it. If I don't have an iota of the quality of forgiveness within me, if I do not consider enemies of mine and think, can I find it within me to forgive them, even in the least, even if it's a portion of the forgiveness, say someone's harmed you 50%, for example, and you're ready to forgive 40% of it, that's a start, that's somewhere, that's something big. 10% you might say, you know what, this thing here, I'm not yet ready. Well, a day will come when you'll realize the readiness for that, because all of us require the mercy of Allah. Allah is more independent of myself and yourselves than we are of the person who's wronged us. I hope you understand what I've just said. Sometimes we say, I don't need this person. Yes, the statement might be valid temporarily. Allah can create a situation whereby you will need them. But when Allah says, I don't need you, He does not need you or me. It's over. He will never. So you tell me, who's in a better position? Allah is in a far better position. Yet, He forgives. Who are we? Allahu Akbar. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, this month of Ramadan, whilst we prepare with all our savouries and so on, alhamdulillah, I'm sure that's already done because I know a few people were ordering freezers the other day, mashallah. I don't know how. Every Ramadan, people are ordering fridges and freezers. Every Ramadan, it's happening. I wonder what happens. The sisters seem not to be able to explain that. Allahu Akbar. And you know, mashallah, the savouries, every Ramadan. I always say, month of no food, we've got the most food. Have you ever noticed that? Month where we're not supposed to be eating, and all the top tastiest unhealthiest of food is there. The other day, you know, the men, we were sitting and talking about how, you know, people come with all these gaseous, you know, sort of difficulties in their bellies. What's the reason? The reason is we break our fast on savouries. The most unhealthy way. The sunnah. Break your fast on water, on dates, on a little bit of yogurt, perhaps the live yogurt, perhaps, you know, the plain yogurt with a little bit of bread and so on. Wallahi, you will have no belly problems. Nothing at all. Start off with that. Let it settle down a little bit. Get your maghrib done and so on and have a little bit more. We start off with samosas and we start off with pies and we start off with everything else and then come for taraweeh. You know, the men, one is making the other suffer and the other one is telling the other, hang on, if you did that, wait, I show you what my wife made for me. Wallahi, it's happening in the masajid. Ask the men, they know about it. May Allah protect us. Why? We've left the sunnah. The sunnah is to eat healthy. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us beautiful ways of eating. Someone asked me a lovely question the other day and said, you know the sunnah of eating dates and having olive oil and having so on and this, a lot of these things are only in the Middle East. So does it mean that it's not sunnah to eat things that we have in our areas? And the answer is no. It is sometimes, it would definitely be a sunnah if we ate as healthy. Bearing in mind that what is being taught is to be health conscious. We are eating for two reasons, for a few reasons. One of them is for filling your belly, obviously, alhamdulillah, and looking after your body. And the other is to achieve energy so that we can worship Allah correctly. We can think properly. You know, we don't want to be running behind our health all the time. Otherwise, how are we going to engage in salah? May Allah grant good health to those who are suffering. I know I actually cancelled all my programs for the last 2 weeks because of health. And mashallah, today I'm standing in front of you and I don't even think it seems or it feels like this man was hospitalized just a few days ago. May Allah protect us. So one would not like to lead a life in such a way that every single time, because of your bad ways of eating, you are suffering. If that's the case, you have a lot to answer for. You have a lot to improve by the will of Allah. You have a lot to learn from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make use of the fruits of the season. You find in May, mashallah, the oranges start. Not just for show to see the bags. Hey, these bags are looking a bit more orange. Wait until they come. Start eating by the will of Allah if you can, mashallah. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, start enjoying the seasonal fruits that are there. That is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has kept them in certain areas, certain times, for certain reasons. And you would know, you would be able to feel. Perhaps nowadays the studies actually show how you will benefit. MashaAllah, that's great. So getting back to this month of Ramadan, a month where we're not supposed to be eating. But because we've lost focus, we make much more in terms of preparation. Wallahi, the sisters, a month before Ramadan, they are worried. How are they so worried? Because we need to make X dozens of this, so much of that, so much of this. We need to prepare this, prepare that. We need, this is what, and they've got it set for the 29 and 30 days. Each packet is there in order to be fried. What is going on? Subhanallah. If we could organize how we're going to complete the Quran in the month of Ramadan in a similar way, where everything is packaged, everything is ready, I'm going to listen to it on CD in the morning, in the afternoon I'm going to read a little bit, and in the evening I'm going to have the meaning of it, and then I'll stand and listen in Taraweeh. Wow. If you've got all that planned, good news to you. You are welcoming the month, and you will benefit from it. We welcome the month of no food with food. Believe me, it happens. Let's try to change that. And sometimes the men are demanding because they are the ones who say, hey, it's Ramadan, don't you know? Everybody's having savouries. Where are mine? Where's this? And so the women, it's just by the way, they have to. Without even thinking, everything is there. Nobody's saying don't have good food. My brothers and sisters, we are lucky. We are fortunate. But remember, eat healthy for the sake of Allah. Eat healthy for the sake of Allah and for your own sake. And you will find definitely a lot of benefit. You will be very, very strengthened in the month where some others become weak. And I want to raise a powerful point. Do you know suhoor in the morning that you are supposed to be having, that pre-dawn little meal is not a huge dinner where you're supposed to be now having, you know, let me name a few things, you know, biryani and something of that nature. No, that is just for barakah purposes. You can have a little bit of cereal, perhaps a brown piece of bread or something, perhaps a little bit of, you know, liquid, maybe milk or whatever else that suits you and so on. And a date or two, something low GI, it will take you through the day and you close there. The more you eat, the hungrier you become quicker. Remember that. That's a rule. Because the enzymes released by your system are asking for more food at 10 o'clock already. Because it was already a rush of these enzymes trying to digest everything. Now that everything's broken down by about 1 o'clock in the day, it's now asking for more. You're hungry. But if you've had some, say a banana, say something else, say for example, a few dates, a bit of water. Liquid is very, very important. Maybe a piece of brown bread or bran, something, so and so on. Believe me, this low release, you will find slowly through the day, come 3-4 o'clock, and that's when you might feel the first signs of a slight bit of hunger, and that's also tolerable. Subhanallah. So this is barakah. Let's try and re-educate ourselves and our children. It has not got to do with how much you can pack away in that short space of time. Not at all. Believe me, those who eat more, they struggle through the fast. Believe me. Why is everyone so silent just looking at me as though I've said something wrong? Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters, wallahi, it's a fact. Eat less by the will of Allah. Eat healthy and eat less. You will find, mashallah, lots of benefit in the month of Ramadan. Now, let's go to the spiritual food. Moments ago, I said, cleanse your heart. So much so that the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a person has abstained from food and drink and desire from dawn to dusk, but through the day they have not protected their mouths from vulgar language, from false accusation or false witness and lies and so on, bad words, they wasted their time staying away from food and drink. Allah does not need the fact that they stayed away from food and drink. What does this mean? It means that in the same way we should be concerned about what goes into our mouths. If I were to tell you, for example, like I said yesterday in the masjid, that if someone in the first day of Ramadan or second day, it happens sometimes, where you're trying to put something in your mouth because you've forgotten that you've started fasting. It can happen. And someone says, hey, you're fasting. And you say, oh, sorry. Or it went into your mouth and you spat it out, literally, because you were fasting. Everyone knows that. You can't eat. The same rule applies regarding what comes out of your mouth. You swear in Ramadan, you've reduced the reward of your fast. Straight away, it's cut down. It's like the fuel in your vehicle. You're putting a proper unleaded 100%. You know, they call it the 95 unleaded, mashallah. And you're putting it, and next thing you get a blend. Sugarcane blend, that's what they call it. And they tell you, you're now getting it, it's just 50% fuel and 50% blend. And you're going to mess your engine. Would you like that? You wouldn't. Well, what we are doing, our little engines that we have, spiritual engines, instead of fueling that engine with something that is beautiful and something that will be beneficial, no backfiring, subhanAllah, a little bit later on, we actually end up putting stuff that is totally blended so that the benefit of that fast is no longer and our spiritual well-being is not as it should have been. What a waste of a month of Ramadan. So my brothers and sisters, become conscious this month what you say in Ramadan. Watch out. Watch your tongue. Keep it moist in the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Glory be to Allah. You are my maker, Ya Allah. I love you, Ya Allah. Keep these words on your tongue, moist. And when someone swears you, especially the heat of the afternoon, and you know when tempers begin to flare, and you just look at them and you smile and you carry on. The hadith says, if a person is to become vulgar with you in the month of Ramadan, in the condition of fasting, you should say, I'm fasting. That's your answer. I am fasting. Inni sa'im. I am fasting. Simple. Which means, don't retaliate with similar derogatory terms. Bad words. No, we don't want that. We want to say words that are good. Imagine someone swearing you, yelling at you at the top of their voice, and you just look at them. it will burn them. But it's your spirituality. You just looked at it and said, wow, you know, you can't. I mean, a braying donkey, what do you do to it? You don't bray back. We'd all become professionals at sounds, subhanAllah. You don't bray back at a donkey, you just look at it. You can enjoy the sound and say, hey, this donkey makes a noise when I come about. Recognizes me at least. To be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, it's about time we learned how to react and retaliate. Today, on a global level, the Muslims have a problem where we have not understood how to respond and react and retaliate to a problem, to an issue, to sometimes a disaster that occurs. People want to react typically. Swear you, swear them back. What did you do? How did you show them you were better? You know? A guy smacks you, smack him back. Okay. It might be a right, for example, to hold someone responsible for what they've done to you. Yes, when they've usurped your right and so on. But remember something. If it is not affecting you beyond a certain point, let it pass. Get used to that. You know what I'm saying this evening? Wallahi, it's very, very important. Because a lot of us have a crisis where we feel it's my right to react, so I must react. You don't realize it's your right, but your payment to fulfill the right of yours might be far greater than just to let it go by. And then you have people saying, but for how long will I let it go by? Okay, fair enough. The day you've got enough cash to take yourself to the doctors and to get treated for so many sicknesses, you can start reacting and retaliating. That's what it is. And in no ways are we saying that, oh, if someone's usurped your right, you don't have the right. No. Yes, definitely. If it is an issue that is not, say for example, not fit to let go by, you know, someone's really usurped something of yours and perhaps, we talk of a crime against you and so on, you have every right to stand up and to deal with it in the proper way that is legally acceptable. But here we're talking of the little grudges we have, families, communities, people who are supposed to be loving each other, small things, the little jealousies. Where did he get the money from to do that? Where did she get this? Why is she so pretty? Why do all the heads turn because of this? And silly things that cross the minds of people that are really not supposed to be there. Really, we shouldn't be having time for this. We are mu'mineen. There is a broader picture. We have so much blessedness. Allah gives us good occasions so often. Look at this month of Ramadan. We are welcoming it, mashallah, in such a beautiful way, saying, let me clean my heart before Ramadan, so that at least in Ramadan, my heart can absorb as much taqwa as possible. Because the whole object of fasting, Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can achieve piety, you can achieve God consciousness and so on. So now, you have the sponge effect of sucking up all the goodness possible because your heart is ready to accept it. But when your heart is already filled with so many other things, what goodness are you going to take from the month of Ramadan? So the hadith says, As-siyamu junnah. Fasting is a shield, protective shield. You know, when you're holding a shield, it protects you from everything. Someone wants to attack you, it's like an armor. So fasting is an armor. And it will protect the one who is fasting for as long as he does not rip it. That's what the hadith says. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, and how would he rip it? What is it that he would do that would make it rip? We would be foolish if we had, you know, enemies trying to pounce at us, and you have armor, and suddenly you release all your armor, you rip it, you cut it up, and the enemy is still pouncing. Whoa, that would be quite foolish. Quite foolish. So how is it ripped? Through backbiting, slander and vulgarity. Whilst we're fasting, we're busy backbiting. Automatically you rip off, or you are ripping your shield, your armor. So now you are prone to the other evil effects of the devil. One might ask, I thought the devils are all tied up in the month of Ramadan. Good question. Well, there's one of two things. Or one of a few things. The devils that are tied up before Ramadan, it is said that it's just the senior of the lot that's tied up. The little juniors are still operating. And those are the ones that are more venomous. You know, before, when you see a young man, And you look at him and you think, hey, this guy's father is a problem, but mashallah, he's a nice guy, you know. Now it's the other way around. Now the fathers are tame, but the sons are getting a bit out of hand. Don't know if you noticed that. You cannot expect it anymore. Where you say, this youngster is a good guy. Sometimes now the world is upside down. Things are changing. In fact, can I give you a different example? Let's not talk about our kids. Come on, mashallah, they're all good, inshallah. Let's talk about the snakes, real snakes. I visited the snake park here some time back. There's an old man, and I always recognize him. And he likes to explain to us about the Gabon viper, you know. He says, this is a snake, it has a serum, it has a this, it has a that. And hey, he gives you explanations. And then he shows you, you see this big python. He says, if it bites you, or if this happens within a few hours, you're gone. And he says, and if the little one bites you, 8 minutes, you're out. I said, but why? He says, because the poison is fresh. That's his own explanation. Wallahi, I'm not telling you a lie. You can go and confirm it. He says, the little one, if the big one bites you, you still got hours to get to the hospital and to carry it. The little one bites you, you're dead. That's when I understood Ramadan. I said, yo, this shaitan, the big one, is tied up. But these little ones, they are venomous, man. Because one of two things, if they all tied up, then it makes us the devils. Because we are still up to mischief. We still do so many wrong things in Ramadan. We still get angry. We still swear. It's happening. So if they all tied up, we the devils. And if you don't want to call ourselves devils, then we've got to blame the little ones and say, those little ones, they are more venomous. Because Ramadan, it's hard. Believe me, it's a month where you've got to restrain yourself double when it comes to temper and so on. You've got to watch out. I know the men know what I'm talking about. We still haven't had the experiences with the sisters. But Allah knows best, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And there is another explanation that if all of them are tied and none of us are devils, then what happens? Then you know what happens? Then we would say he's either operating through Bluetooth or wireless operation. Like the Quran says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. The devil sees you, he watches you from a position that you cannot see him. He's in disguise. Like how he affected Adam from outside heaven. He was already kicked out of heaven, but through Bluetooth, he affected Adam. I'm calling it Bluetooth for us to understand. Was some wireless device, the waswasa came in. How did it happen? Allah knows. Through deception. He affected Adam. He wasn't there. That's how he affects us in the month of Ramadan. If he's not there, he has wound us prior to Ramadan. So we just unwinding, playing the little tip-tap, you know, the tapping. If you've got those little Mickey Mouse toys that are wound, you know, and until the winding is unwound, you will find it keeping on tapping and playing the music. It's according to how much you've wound it. So we are wound for 30 days, exactly 30 days. We keep on tapping, tapping, tapping. When Shaitan comes out 30 days later, he sees us, hey, exactly where I wanted you. Wow, there you are. That's how it works. We cannot deceive ourselves to say, no, there's no Shaitan in Ramadan. What about the adultery that's being committed in the month? What about the haram, the casinos, the gambling, the alcohol? What, you think that's from the angels? Astaghfirullah. No way. There are explanations for it. And I've touched on some of these explanations in a beautiful way this evening. So food for thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. So are we ready, inshallah, to accept this month, to welcome it by cleansing our hearts, inshallah, by being hard on ourselves and becoming people who are conscious of what we say so that we don't rupture or rip through this shield that is going to be protecting us from all other evil? Because once the shield is raptured, what will happen? We are prone to all other types of disaster that will hit us. And that's when your mind starts wandering, your eyes start wandering. For example, your mouth starts saying things. Your heart is not in a state of goodness and spiritual level fit for the month of Ramadan and so on. You start going to places, you start talking about people and so on. All that is unnecessary. The month of Ramadan is a month of training. Really, 1 month of solid training so that we can live the next 11 months in such purity. Like I said yesterday in the masjid, if we can stay away from permissible food like milk and water and bread, which there is nothing wrong with, if we can stay away from permissible food from dawn to dusk every single day for 30 days for the month of Ramadan, then surely we would be finding it much more easier to stay away from that which is totally prohibited outside the month of Ramadan. Because you appreciate the milk and the bread and everything else as soon as the sun sets. You appreciate it. And that's why after the month of Ramadan, you appreciate all the goodness. But that's only if you've helped cleanse yourself. You know, the fasting on its own and the month of Ramadan, it has this effect on an individual that if he has iman, he will feel it. If she has iman, she will feel it. As soon as the moon is sighted, we're in a different mode. I'm sure a lot of us feel it, if not every one of us. As soon as the moon is sighted, you have the first Taraweeh. You're already in Ramadan mode. Yet, that same afternoon, you were on another mode altogether. What is that all about? It's all about spirituality. Allah is saying, this is a season. It's a blessed season. Make the most of it. Benefit. Fast correctly. And this brings me to the last hadith I'm going to say for today. Perhaps meaning for this part of the session. Where the Prophet ﷺ says, so many people fast, but achieve nothing from their fast besides hunger and thirst. كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. And so many people stand at night in prayer, but achieve nothing from it besides losing sleep and getting tired. كَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ وَالتَّعَبُ. Why? Why is it? Because they have not fulfilled it correctly. Like I say, Taraweeh is a gift of Allah. When you fulfill that salah, you must take it easy. You must try and read correctly. If you're listening to an imam, try and listen to every word. You're getting a reward for it. Try and go through the meanings of it before you actually listen to it. It will help you. And we cannot underestimate the value of understanding the Quran. No matter how much we reiterate it, wallahi, it will always be more important than what we can say. Understanding the Quran, make an effort. It's an insult, really, to be a Muslim and never to have picked up the meanings of the Quran. The word of Allah, your maker. He's going to ask you, definitely, without a doubt, he will ask you when you die, whether or not you've read his word. That's going to come at some stage. It's going to come. And we, may Allah protect us all, we might recite how many books and novels and comics and this and that we've read and so many, how many movies we've watched, astaghfirullah, and what we've done, X, Y, Z, the soaps. Today we're talking about soaps where sometimes the old generation, they would never ever want to miss a minute of a soap. Allahu Akbar. And I'm thinking, but aren't you 75 years old? Okay. What about the importance of the Quran, the book of Allah? Have you equated it to start with? It's an insult to equate it, but if that's a starting point, come on, it is. If you cannot miss this for anything, you know why they call it a soap? Because it washes. What does it wash? Your brain. Allahu Akbar. Call it soap. It's a soap. They call it that. So here we have Allah's book, the greatest of all detergents. Believe me, it will cleanse your heart, not the brain. And we have it in front of us. Try and read it, understand it. Nobody will be able to fool you again about your religion because you know the Quran, you've understood it. You understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah open our doors. Brothers and sisters, I hope this was a little pep talk in preparation for Ramadan, that we can inshallah welcome this beautiful month. From now, let's start improving on our salah, inshallah. When we read salah, take a little bit more time, inshallah, and try to concentrate a bit more, read the surahs, try to see the meanings of the surahs, and inshallah, that will be welcoming Taraweeh. The food that we're eating already, we can start cutting down slightly from now already. That's also a way of welcoming the month of Ramadan. We need to be serious. Some people say, okay, Ramadan is coming, 30 days of very little eating. Let me start eating now as much as I can so that when the month comes, I won't be finding myself losing minerals and vitamins because I'll have replenished everything now. That's the wrong attitude. The Prophet ﷺ used to prepare by eating less in this particular month. He used to fast a lot in this month. He used to fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. So let us also try. We fast, inshallah, Mondays, Thursdays, Sunnah. And at the same time, we can at least cut down a little bit on our food, start eating a bit healthy. And remember, you need to use the opportunity of Ramadan to kick out your bad habits. Some people are hooked onto so many different bad habits. Now we are in an age where the bad habits, the number of possibilities has increased. So some people are hooked onto the mobile phone. The mobile phone is not a bad habit or a bad tool. It's the way we use it that is sometimes a bad habit. Really, the mobile phone. You know, yesterday I was about to send out a tweet, but I didn't. What was the tweet? The tweet was something to this, to say, I'm going to cut out social networking up to the beginning of Ramadan just to see how it feels. And you know, when you on it, believe me, it requires a lot of jihad to actually do that. Great effort. Imagine you're on WhatsApp and you say, up to the beginning of Ramadan, not looking at it. Ooh, if you can do that, you're a muttaqi, I think. You know, it would not be so difficult for you to become conscious of Allah. Because that's something, if you're hooked on it and you actually are ready to, you know, take it apart for a while to see how things feel, really, you're a person who's worth knowing, worth learning from. If you have a bad habit, cut it out, throw it out. And you know, bad habits of today amongst the youngsters and even sometimes amongst slightly older people, you have the technology that takes people away, sometimes through pornography, sometimes through haram chats and relations, and sometimes through just little wastes of time. You know, believe me, if you are to send a message, I love you, to someone, you better be able to back that up. Do you know what that means? Who did you send it to? Why did you send it? What does it mean? Who's the person? Do you have the right to tell them that? Can it be misinterpreted? All these questions need to be answered before you just send it, you know, a little red heart to someone. It can cause great damage. Believe me, it can cause irreversible damage if it gets into the hands of someone who's not prepared to understand your explanation. It's over. And I'm telling you this because I know things like this happen. You know, we end up counseling people, and if you look at the root of the problem, it's nothing. It was just something minor. They were just playing. It was just a pastime. They weren't even meaning what they said. And they ended up saying things, doing things. And you know what? At the wrong time, wrong place, it got into the wrong hands. Or should I say the right hands. And then everything just went out of control. That's why let's be careful. It's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. May Allah protect us. Some people have got away with it. Well, that's Allah protecting you. So now cut it before you no longer get away with it. And like I say, in a lot of the cases, it's nothing. In a lot of the cases that I may have dealt with, it's actually nothing. There's no relation, there's no... It's just a pass of words and messages and SMSs and emails and females. That's it. And males. Now, nowadays with the equality, you've got to make sure you say both. So, the truth of the matter is, if that's the case and there's really nothing behind it, why give the opportunity to a spouse of yours or someone really so close to you that you're dedicated to actually doubt you for nothing, for no reason, for free? You know, it's foolishness. So this is the month of Ramadan where you cut out extra stuff. You cut out all that. You don't need it, inshallah. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope really that we can benefit much. And we can begin to understand that this month is not only all about staying away from food and drink. No, it's not only all about that. There is a far greater reasoning behind Ramadan. Food and drink is only to get you into a certain condition of spirituality, whereby you will now be able to work on all the other qualities, improving yourself tremendously in such a beautiful way. So together with that, now you increase your tilawa, your Quran, your dhikr, you make peace with those whom perhaps you may not have made peace with, and it climaxes towards the end when you get the odd nights and the possibility of Laylatul Qadr. You know, the night of power and decree, which is the most powerful night in existence, the whole year. It's the most powerful night you could ever have. And it climaxes at that point where you are crying to your maker to say, oh Allah, grant me, improve my situation, forgive me, give me a better year to come. Ya Allah, sustenance. Ya Allah, my children. Ya Allah, offspring. Ya Allah, this, my spouse, this and that and so on. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to benefit us and to grant us every form of goodness. 45 minutes are up and inshallah we will open the floor for questions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.